Welcome back to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. This probably won't be the last time that I or one of my colleagues here at KCUR sits in this chair and welcomes you to Central Standard, but it will be the last time for a good long while, we hope, that we don't follow our own name with sitting in for Gina Kaufman. Earlier this month, KCUR announced that Gina is returning to the station to host this 10 o'clock hour. Her first day officially on the air is Monday, but she is joining us today to answer some of our questions and some of yours. Gina, welcome back to KCUR.
Thank you so much, Brian.
It is so exciting to see you here.
Thanks.
We should mention that we used social media and the airwaves this week to find out what our listeners wanted to know. Our Tell KCUR question of the week was, what do you want to know about Gina Kaufman? And it's not too late to tell us. You can feel free to post your questions at the KCUR website or the Facebook page or to tweet them with the hashtag TellKCUR. The conversation will continue even after the program. Gina, I know you to be a lover of words. What word captures what you are feeling and thinking right now as you start this new venture?
I'm thinking. Let's see. One word.
One word.
Everything.
Say more.
Well, it's I feel really excited and but a little bit dazed by it all. It's as much as it's been a process to get to this stage, it's all also felt like it's happened very fast. And I think it might be months or even years before I fully process what's just happened and what's happening right now.
Well, I think everyone understands that. I know you were actually working in your other job right up until yesterday, right?
Yeah, and they my very dear supervisor at that position, I was going to stay until 5 yesterday, and the job is in Lawrence at the Spencer Museum of Art, and she told me that it was inhumane to keep me until 5 and dismissed me early.
Well, you get, and I'm sure you'll find a similar treatment here at KCUR. You co-hosted, of course, The Walt Bodine Show on KCUR from 2008 to 2010, and we'll talk about that a little more here in a bit, but I want to go back somewhat further than that. A lot of people don't know much about your background, Gina. Where are you from?
I'm from right here. I mean, I was actually born just a few blocks from this very location, so I am... Yeah, I'm Kansas City born and raised.
And if we had known 5-year-old Gina in Kansas City or 18-year-old Gina and asked, what do you want to be when you grow up, would radio talk show host have been on the list?
No, and that's not – okay, at 5, I definitely was not yet listening to public radio. I was not quite not at 5. But at 5, I might have given you something closer than at 18, because at 5, I really admired Barker's Beauties on The Price is Right.
Now, see, I wanted to be a game show host at that same age. This could have worked out really well, Gina.
It still could.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, so at 5, my parents were fairly horrified by that disclosure, because I think they had, more substantial things in mind than demonstrating what is behind door number 2 with glorious gestures. But... by 18, I did want to be a writer and I did want to be a journalist, but the idea of broadcasting would have never occurred to me.
And so that is what you did. You went off to Columbia and you became a journalist, right?
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of people assume that I would have gotten a journalism major, but Columbia doesn't offer pre-professional degrees. It's a very traditional classical liberal arts school. So I had a great advisor who told me that I didn't have to have a major to graduate, and that I could just – what she would recommend for a journalist was to just take as many different subjects as possible to get a firm footing in a lot of different disciplines. My parents weren't thrilled by the notion of no major, so by the time I announced I was a French major, that seemed like a very practical decision.
And so you were a French major. You then got a master's degree in creative writing.
Another practical decision.
Well, and what is that is really the question. What does any of that have to do with being a good talk show host?
Well, so you've touched on, I'm not a very linear personality, and I would say that my career matches that. I haven't taken a very obvious or linear path, and at various turns of corners on the way, I have, even with having a nonlinear personality myself, I have stopped and looked at where I am and thought to myself, what are you doing? But it has all come together, and I don't know, I believe pretty strongly in authenticity, and when something feels right to me, I generally will do it, even if it doesn't make logical sense. If it makes intuitive sense, I tend to go for it. So I would say that among journalists, I seem maybe kind of artsy and literary. And among literary types and writers and artists, I seem very journalistic. Mm. I'm a hybrid.
That's not a bad space to occupy, I wouldn't think. You mentioned that you have been working at the Spencer Museum out in Lawrence.
But I have.
That's not the only thing you've been up to in the last few years. You wrote a book.
That's true. Yeah, I was hired right as I was leaving KCUR for my last tenure here. I was hired to write the Kansas installment of the More Than Petticoat series by Globe Pico Press, and that in each state profiles a handful of women who lived during the 19th century and in some way lived unexpected kinds of lives for that time period.
And then among the other things, and not insignificant, is you got married in the last couple of years too.
I did. I got married, and well, this might come as a surprise to some of our listeners, but my husband actually also works at KCUR.
KCUR health reporter Alex Smith is the proud husband of Gina Kaufman.
And I, the proud wife of him.
And I have to say, I'm trying to imagine the life around the dinner table. You're both really good question askers. You're both really fine interviewers. I guess I'm curious whether anyone actually answers the questions around the dinner table, or if you just sort of ask provocative questions back and forth.
That's pretty funny. You know, my mom is a rabbi, and rabbis have the joke about rabbis is that they only ask questions, they don't answer them. They answer questions with questions, and I would say you might find a similar dynamic, in fact, at our dinner table.
Good to know. So many of our listeners will already know this, but this 10 o'clock hour is in a time of transition at the station. We had Sylvia Maria Gross here on the program. She'll be a producer of the program when she returns from her maternity leave next month, I think, soon. And we talked about Central Standard and Casey Current's the words we used were having a baby. Much is yet to be seen about the program that will be birthed from that, but much of that will be shaped by you. What about the new format excites you?
Well, first of all, I need to say that this analogy makes me the teensiest bit uncomfortable.
All right. You just mentioned the questions your mother asks, but we won't get into all that here.
I'm really excited to find many ways with the excellent team that's already in place here to take the best of what's already been so present in both of these shows and then to add several new ingredients to that mix to make something really current and dimensional and to bring kind of a new perspective to the talk show format. The ideas that everyone has brought to the table so far are really exciting, and they just are going to require some fine-tuning and a lot of back and forth and brainstorming to take them to their state where they're ready to be debuted.
Are there particular hopes that you have for the show that you would have for any show you were hosting? What do you most want to accomplish when you sit down at the microphone and start a conversation?
Well, what I most want to accomplish is to have a really good conversation. That's the very simple answer, is that if you're not having fun having the conversation, there's very little chance that someone's going to have fun listening to it. Mm. And so I guess having genuinely great conversations is my first goal, which isn't such a bad thing to come into your workplace every day aspiring to do. But other than that, I know a lot of listeners have been asking questions about Walt, and one of the things that I think the Walt Bodine Show did so well and that I would want to replicate, but only in a different way probably, would be that show felt like a place almost. It had all of the kind of atmosphere and ambiance of a physical place that you might frequent. And the difference being that no matter what neighborhood people live in or what they're doing at that moment, what their schedules might be like, at a certain hour of every day, all of these people can be brought together in this atmosphere that feels like, I guess my understanding of hosting is just the way hosting would be if you were having people over to your house or if you were hosting at a restaurant or something, that you're welcoming people in and that you're creating an atmosphere and a space for shared experience. So more than a conversation, to share an experience.
That is something Walt did really well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I mentioned a few minutes ago that we'd be hearing from listeners, and as you said, people have been asking questions about Walt and about many other things through our Tell KCUR question of the week. Again, it's not too late for folks to answer that question with their own questions. You can call in right now, in fact, by calling 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. What do you want to know about Gina Kaufman? You can ask her yourself. You can also respond at KCUR's Facebook page, or you can tweet your questions with the hashtag TellKCUR. Mary Beth asked on Facebook, what is the most important thing you learned from Walt Bodine?
The most important thing I learned from Walt Bodine, well, I would say as a human being, the most important thing I learned from Walt Bodine was to be kind to people who are joining you and becoming part of your team and who maybe have less experience than you do. He was so gracious in taking me under his wing, and I couldn't have helped him if he hadn't helped me. And I think, so as a human being, I think that's the biggest thing I learned from him. But journalistically, I think the biggest thing I learned from him was, in the parlance of about 15 years ago, to keep it real. Walt kept it fabulously real, and everyone respected him for that. And no matter how serious or lighthearted the subject, wherever a subject fell on that spectrum, his response to something someone said would always be very authentic. And I think that's important in journalism.
Walt, of course, retired from the station in 2011 and sadly passed away last year. We had a question from Tell KCUR from Shannon on Facebook. She asked, what do you miss most about Walt and his style of journalism?
Well, styles of journalism, just like styles of anything else, are constantly evolving. And Walt worked over a huge time period.
60 years, I think.
His style of journalism, I mean, even if you're just looking at him, it's hard to really pin down what that is. But I guess something that I miss and just... in the profession, I guess, is the time that journalists once had the ability to take with their subjects, the depth that they were able to uncover, just that it's such a fast-paced world right now. And I don't think any stopping that, but I think that somehow to be able to transport that sense of thorough time-taking when possible. I don't know how often that will be possible, but whenever possible, whenever you can carve out the space to do it, I think that that's important.
I'm curious, Gina, with all these questions about your past, about your past experience, how are you different now than maybe last time you were on KCUR?
That's an interesting question. I think... this is a funny thing to say with a microphone in front of your face, but I think I might be a little quieter than I was then. And I don't mean that in terms of volume, really, but just I think that I've had so many experiences since then where I've been in unfamiliar territory that I've been really humbled by the knowledge of others and the expertise of others and more eager to listen and more eager to sit back and let things play out a little bit. So I think a little more patient and a little more quiet and maybe a little bit more rusty on the radio, but hopefully not too much more.
It doesn't seem the, besides the radio, another thing you've been doing, actually, this was before, during, and after your previous stint was storytelling and facilitating the storytelling of others. Tell us about these gatherings that you put together in Kansas City.
Well, they are themed events, and I basically gather individuals around a theme, and I approach them one by one, asking them to tell a story from their own experience that ideally indirectly ties into that theme. And by approaching the people one by one, I really encourage them to be as individuals, to interpret the theme so that by the time they're congregated, they're not all following the same pattern. And they just, it's very simple. It's almost deceptively simple. Each person tells a story of about 5 to 8 minutes, and my only requirement is that it has a beginning, middle, and end, because I don't, as much as I love stand-up comedy when done well, that's not really the goal, or oral essays, that's also not the goal. It's really stories. I think of stories as kind of the least common denominator of all art. I've said before, a knock-knock joke and an opera have storytelling in common. But what ends up happening, they're typically at the Brick in downtown Kansas City, sometimes in other places. And it's just a very warm gathering where people are in a bar doing what they essentially would normally be doing in a bar, but instead of sitting and talking and telling, swapping tales back and forth among a small group of friends you already know, the room is suddenly opened up and you're sharing that experience with acquaintances, strangers, and everything in between.
A lot of our listeners asked about the storytelling, too, through Tell KCUR. Lisa on Facebook asked, how old were you when you started collecting stories?
Well, I started doing the storytelling series when I was in my early 20s. And I guess the collecting of stories that she's referring to, I think I one time when speaking somewhere talked about the process of collecting stories. And I started doing that when I was incredibly young, like to the extent that I'm not sure how old I was because I don't remember not doing it. But I think that just the way I think about things tends to be that if someone brings up a subject, a story will generally pop into my mind surrounding that. And it's often not my own story. When I hear stories, I kind of file them away and they're, for some reason, very retrievable.
If you have questions for Gina Kaufman or questions about her or about the new show, you can call us at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. Mo asked us on Facebook, who was the most fun person you interviewed back on the Walt Bodine Show?
I've been thinking about this because I saw that Mo asked that.
You peeked at the questions.
I peeked. There were so many guests, and I'm sure that some of them would, a different person would resurface if you asked me the same question tomorrow. But there was, NPR has a music correspondent, I believe. His name is Tom Moon. Mm. And he had a book that had come out that was something like 1,000 albums to hear before you die, something like that, which is funny because it's not like the 1,000 best albums of all time. It's just you should hear them. But he came on. We had pulled lots of sound clips, songs from the albums that he wrote about, which ranged from old ragtime songs to very contemporary things, every genre, everything. And having Walt in the room and me in the room representing these different generations and this guy playing music from these different time periods, we had so much fun in the station that day. He was just a really upbeat, game kind of guy. And by the end of the show, I was actually laughing through the credits. We had such a great time that day.
Now, that's a question about the past. I guess here's a question about the future from John on Facebook. Who would be your ultimate get? I think this might be kind of the radio host version of who do you want to have dinner with in heaven or something. But who would be the ultimate interview for you, Gina?
Well, okay. So a really good get, I would say, would always be tied to the moment in a sense that something happening right now dictates who is the amazing get for today. However, that being said, this might be a kind of controversial answer because not everyone likes this person.
Okay.
But I think that Sarah Silverman and I could have an excellent conversation. I think it would be really entertaining for me particularly. And if she's ever in town, I hope Steve Kraske's listening because I call dibs right now.
And you'll want to keep your finger on the delay dump button that we use in case a bad word is said on the air.
Well, I think she can control herself.
All right.
Okay. Or were you worried about me?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You never know. Here's a question from staff. KCUR's Laura Spencer puts this question to you. It's a two-part question. If Fresh Air's Terry Gross interviewed you, is there a question she might ask that would make you squirm in your seat or consider storming out of the studio?
It's hard to imagine a question that would make me do that unless the question was, would you please get out of your seat and storm out of the studio.
Okay.
It's hard to imagine, but yeah, I can't. I don't think so. But was that so that have well, I that, answered part
well,
one?
Well, that was part one, I assure. The second part of the question is, how would you respond to a moment like that in an interview if someone you were talking with stormed out?
I would probably jump out of my – I would probably say, hold on, listeners, jump out of my seat and try to physically obstruct the departure because I'm not sure what other options you would have. I think avoiding moments like that is one of the main parts of the job description.
Mm.
So if someone gets up and storms out, I hope it's not too bold to say I've done something horribly wrong.
Hmm. Because you think that you should be able to ask someone almost anything based on having established enough of a connection or trust that they're okay with you asking.
I think walking that fine line of being sufficiently challenging and journalistically diligent while and authentic, as I was saying before. So if you're skeptical of something someone's saying or if there's something that needs to be asked that might make a person uncomfortable, to be able to do that in a way that keeps someone at the table is, I would say, essentially the job description.
So there are other questions about the future of the show. Here's one that came from Twitter. The Twitter user EnoughKC asks, will you change the theme song? And actually then adds, please.
Well, I understand that there are a lot of opinions out there about the current theme song and probably about a number of facets of the show. And I guess I would just like to make it really clear that I'm part of a large team here and that these decisions will – my arrival does not signal the a regime. It's I'm not arriving to lay down the law. I'm arriving to continue some discussions and – bring the show to a place where a new format will be ready to debut in late spring or early summer. And we're really excited to take feedback like this into consideration as those discussions take place. But any changes that happen won't be happening for a little while yet and will be happening as a team kind of deal.
So we've asked who your ultimate get is. Let's bring that down to the practical. If Ms. Silverman isn't available, is there anyone that you really hope to talk to in the next few months? Maybe someone closer to home here? Someone you want to call dibs on with Steve Kraske?
There are a lot of topics I'd like to explore, and I guess I think of it more in terms of topics. I'm hoping to get a lot of the artists and musicians and writers of Kansas City in the studio and to explore with them not only their work but also the subjects that they explore in their work. And I'm hoping, I guess one of the things that really interests me is bringing the arts into broader societal conversations and not sort of bridging the gap between what is often considered soft news and what is considered hard news. I would say that is kind of a goal for my next couple of months, but I don't have one person in mind, which is probably a good thing because we need at least five per week or four per week, I should say.
Well, and that point, four or five per week, gets to a question we just had from a caller. The caller couldn't stay on the line, but the question was, will the food and movie people, the food critics and the movie critics, still be on?
To the best of my knowledge, that is certainly the case. I think, as I was saying before, all of these kinds of decisions are group decisions, not Gina Kaufman decisions, and they will be, the new format doesn't debut until late spring or early summer, and I think that's when everything that might change other than the arrival of my voice, that's when we'll be finding out about those things.
Well, let's get to some really important questions that came in from Tell KCUR this week. Adam on Facebook wants to know, sweet and zesty or hot and tangy? What is your barbecue preference, Gina Kaufman?
Okay, I've got to kind of come clean about something. I am Kansas City born and raised, and I love barbecue culture, and I love the smells, and I love the rituals.
Oh, no.
And
what are you about to say?
I don't dislike barbecue, but I'm not like fanatical about it. I mean, I just need to be honest here. I I'm not a barbecue fanatic, and I think most people who know me well would not consider me qualified to be making large, bold pronouncements about barbecue. However, I will say that I think what are the flavor choices?
The choices, as Adam has posed them, are sweet and zesty, or hot and tangy. I think you could go with kind of the Carolina vinegary option. there are other options.
Well, okay, I would say hot. Hmm. I'm not sure what tangy. I mean, I'm trying to imagine tangy barbecue sauce, and I'm not sure that I'm connecting with a taste bud kind of memory on that. But I will say, I really think that the French fries at Gates are very wonderful, and I think that hot.
Okay, all right, there
and
it is.
Can I have a lifeline on this? Because since I peaked, asked my brothers who are barbecue fanatics, and I imagined them sort of being in a state of disbelief at the idea that I am the family member answering questions about barbecue.
Right, right. And so do your brothers offer to some solutions?
Yes. I have answers from my brothers. Justin says that Elsie's barbecue is his favorite, which is pretty sweet. That said, he likes the hot sauce at Gates, so he's noting his own contradiction, and he doesn't really know what tangy is.
Okay, so you're not the only one, apparently. Well, all right, I'm glad we've cleared this up, and inquiring minds will be satisfied, I'm sure, with that. Patty emailed us. She asked, where did Gina go to high school?
I went to Pembroke Hill.
All right. Pembroke Hill. Proud graduate. Adrian tweeted that one of her fondest memories is participating in one of your storytelling events in Kansas City.
I know what Adrian this is.
Here's a question from DC Weiser on Twitter. Is Gina any relation to Ewing Kaufman?
Uh-huh. No.
If only.
it's a small swap of letters that makes... I would assume a large difference, but this is a question I get a lot, or rather, there's when people hear your name, that your name is Kaufman and you're from Kansas City,
right.
There's an assumption that is made, and often I don't notice that assumption has been made until weird things start happening. Mm. I have a lot of stories about that, but I'm not sure how much time you have.
But for clarity, the Center for Performing Arts, the stadium, the foundation, that is... two F's and one N, not one F and two N's like our Gina Kaufman.
Exactly. And I've spent a lot of, probably days, if you add them all up, of my life saying one F and two N's.
Well, Gina, in 95 hours, this will be your chair. I know that all of us here at KCUR are thrilled to have you back, and we're looking forward to listening. Congratulations. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
And I hope you come back, too.
I hope so, too. Gina Kaufman is the new host of the 10 a.m. hour on KCUR. She'll take over Central Standard starting on Monday. I want to thank Gina. You can find out more about her, about this move, about the new program. And in fact, you can listen to all of our past shows and subscribe to our podcast by visiting the Central Standard page at kcur.org. Central Standard returns tomorrow with the movie critics. Up to Date is next with the characteristics that can help a school board beat the odds. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with Christy Garten. I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.